Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Paramount Communications Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Singh from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining the call. We have with us today Mr. Sanjay Agarwal, Chairman and CEO of the company, Mr. S. K. Agarwal, CFO, and Mr. N. K. Gupta, President, Finance and Accounts. I will now transfer the call to Mr. Sanjay Agarwal for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Sanjeev, and good afternoon, everyone. I am Sanjay Agarwal, Chairman and CEO of Paramount Communications Limited. I welcome you all to this earnings call. Let me start with a small background of the company. Paramount Cables, established in 1955, has a complete range of products for every segment of the market: power cables, telecom optical fiber cables, railway signaling cables, house wires, special cables, etc. The company has two state-of-the-art manufacturing plants at Kushkhedda in Rajasthan and Dharuheda in Haryana, with a strong in-house R&D team and focus on excellence in design and implementation. Paramount was a profit-making and dividend-paying company till FY 2008. We were at that time substantially expanding our capacity. In August 2007, Paramount acquired the third-largest cables manufacturer in the U.K., established circa year 1837 with AEI Cables Limited. Due to the 2008 global economic crisis, which, besides other issues, resulted in a major slowdown of the Indian and U.K. economies, meltdown in metal and commodity prices, as also a huge reduction in demand and product pricing. As a result, both the parent Paramount India and the U.K. acquisition AEI Cables went into losses. Ultimately, after 6.5 years of ownership, Paramount exited the U.K. entity in the year 2014. The company suffered a long period of financial stress from FY 2009 right up to FY 2018, during which, in the absence of bank funding, the only fresh funding available to offset the losses was the equity injections by the promoters over these years. With the support of additional equity put in by the promoters, Paramount has seen exceptional growth, with revenues nearly doubling from rupees 316 crores in FY 2017 to more than rupees 614 crores in FY 2019, with a PAT of 29 crore rupees. So this means that actually we had a difficult period of roughly 10 years, but then we were able to double our turnover with the resources put in by the promoters. The total equity infused by promoters since the year 2010, when the company started facing financial stress, is rupees 128 crores, which includes rupees 45 crores infused during the last 2 years. The company has achieved revenues of rupees 813 crore and rupees 1079 crore, respectively, with EBITDA of 7.9% and 9%, with a PAT of rupees 48 crores and rupees 85.6 crores during FY 2023 and FY 2024, respectively. There is a robust potential for growth as the industry is growing at around 14% in India. being a very old and established player in the wires and cables industry, Paramount has had the opportunity to grow strongly in all segments, with power, railways, telecom, exports, house wiring, etc. Paramount has exported cables to more than 25 countries across Europe, Africa, Australia, Asia, and the Americas. Paramount has established a strong presence in the US market after an extensive approval process lasting over 5 years. We achieved US exports of rupees 400 crores in FY23 and rupees 271 crores in FY24, which shows the strength of Paramount product in this vital export market. Paramount raised approximately rupees 274 crores during the past 2 years from investors by way of fresh equity. In August 24, we prepaid all our dues to the ARC, the Asset Reconstruction Company, and since then we have become a debt-free company. We are now very well placed to regain our earlier prime position in the Indian cables industry. Paramount is now expected to grow its top line with a CAGR of minimum 25% to 30% over the next 5 years, with its exports mainly through our distribution network in the US accounting for around 40% of the total revenue. Coming now to a summary of the results for the quarter and the first half of the financial year for the company. I am happy to share that Paramount has achieved its highest ever quarterly and half yearly revenues and profits this year. For Q2, the revenue from operations is rupees 356 crores as against rupees 252 crores in Q2 of the last year, showing a growth of 41%. Our EBITDA is rupees 33.6 crores with a margin of 9.38% as against rupees 23.2 crores with a margin of 9.13% in the same quarter of the previous year. With the growth in the absolute amount of EBITDA being 44.7%. The profit growth after tax, for this quarter is rupees 20.3 crores against rupees 19.5 crores in the same quarter of the previous year. So the growth in PAT is profit after tax is 4.3%. The PAT margin is 5.7% for this quarter versus 7.7% in the previous year. This reduction in PAT margin and the slower growth in the PAT amount are both a reflection of the tax implication coming into our equations for the first time in Q2 of FY25. Prior to that, we were having substantial accumulated losses, due to which the company was not paying any tax. Now, once we absorb this change in our tax status, in the future you will see that we will continue on a more or less similar path, except for, of course, this taxable amount, of course, having kicked in now, right? The domestic sales of wires and cables is rupees 254 crores against rupees 184 crores in the previous year quarter, with a growth of 38%. The domestic cable sale, power cable sales are rupees 178 crores against 98 crores for the previous year, with a growth of 81%. By the way, the power cable sales have constituted roughly 50% of the total cable sales for the company in this quarter, as against 39% of the previous year's same quarter. Other domestic sales comprised railway cable sales of rupees 37 crores, house wire sales of rupees 22 crores, telecom sales, cable sales of rupees 8 crores and other sales of rupees 9 crores. Export sales in Q2 have been rupees 102 crores as against rupees 69 crores last year, showing a growth of 49%. Export sales constituted 29% of our total sales in this quarter versus 27% in the previous year's same quarter. Now we will come to the summary of the first half, that means April to September 24. The revenues from operations in H1 in this financial year are rupees 677 crores as against rupees 463 crores last year. The growth in revenue amounts to 46%. EBITDA is 63.5 crores as against rupees 41.7 crores in the previous year, the growth being 52%. EBITDA margin is 9.31% for this current H1 as against 8.94% the previous year. Profit after tax in H1 is rupees 45.6 crores as against rupees 34 crores in the previous year. The growth in PAT is therefore 34%. The PAT margin in 6 months is 6.7% versus 7.3%, again, as I mentioned earlier, because of the first time that the tax implications have come into our workings. Domestic sale of wires and cables in H1 FY25 is rupees 487 crores as against 311 crores in the previous year, showing a growth of 57%. In domestic cable sales, power cable sales is rupees 298 crores as against rupees 171 crore in the previous year, showing a growth of 75%. Power cable sales constituted 44% of the total H1 sales as against 37% of the previous half year. Other domestic sales comprised of railway cables having a sale of rupees 101 crore, house wire sale of rupees 41 crore, telecom cable sales of rupees 22 crores and other sales of rupees 25 crores. Out of the total domestic sales, the total sales through our distribution network domestically was rupees 56 crores in the H1. Export sales in H1 is rupees 190 crores as against rupees 152 crores last year, showing a growth of 25%. Export sales constituted 28% of our total sales in H1 versus 33% in previous half year. All our export sales to US were through our established distributor network spread across US. I must say that H1 last year was more or less a continuation of the previous year FY23 in terms of market demand, and it gradually came down, and H2 last year was very difficult in terms of exports. So therefore we are finding a small percentage reduction at least in our export of sales vis-a-vis total sales, although the absolute number of exports has gone up from 152 crores to 190 crores in H1. The total sale of the company through its distribution network, which includes domestic and US market, has therefore contributed 36% in H1 as against 39% in the previous year's same period. The company prefers to measure its production capacity in terms of metals consumed, that is copper and aluminium tonnage consumed. The company consumed total of 10,757 tons of metal in this H1 F25 as against 7035 metric ton for the last year, showing a growth of 53%. So I would like to stress here that this is in real terms the you know volume growth that we can say the company has achieved in H1, which is 53% over the previous year in terms of metal consumed, because raw material prices can go up and down, but ultimately the metal that we process is a measure of the machine capacity and utilization. The pending order as on 1st of October 24 was rupees 619 crores, out of which domestic cable orders was 427 crores and export orders were rupees 192 crores pending. As mentioned earlier, Paramount is a debt-free company as on 30th of September 24. There is some very small loans of rupees 15 crores odd against surrender value of certain insurance policies and certain vehicle loans, etc., which therefore result in showing a debt equity ratio of 0.02 that appears still on our financial numbers. The company has incurred a capital expenditure payment of rupees approximately 62 crores in FY24 and roughly rupees 27 crores in H1 of FY25. With this, I think we have given you a fair bit of idea about the performance of the company in the second quarter and the first half of financial year 25. And I think we will now throw the floor open and we'll be very happy to answer any queries, any questions that any of the attendees might have. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Natasha Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. While the introduction was quite detailed, sir, just want you to throw a little more detailed color in terms of numbers. So when I see from FY11 till FY18 onwards, your numbers have been slightly inconsistent and operating margins have been in the negative territory. So a little color there would definitely help. That's my first question. Thank you.
Could you please mention the period in which you wanted me to clarify about?
So historically, basically from FY11 to FY18, that period.
FY11 to 18, in fact, I myself mentioned, in fact, it's not only FY11, I would rather say FY 2009, right up to FY 2018, the operating margins of the company were under stress, under a lot of difficulty. The process started with the meltdown, with the global meltdown which happened in September 2008, exactly 1 year after we had made our acquisition in UK. This was the AEI cables which we acquired in UK, as I mentioned. And the company, of course, we had made a comparatively larger acquisition because AEI cables in terms of revenues was about nearly equal to the revenues of Paramount. We had revenues of roughly 450 crores at that time and AEI cables was of a similar size. So when we acquired it, it was with a view that Paramount is increasing its capacity and we wanted to have a large chunk of our capacity utilized towards exports across the world. And the sort of entry barriers that we would face in trying to, you know, get large orders from prestigious customers, the mainly comprised of your track record and your performance, which was totally answered by our having acquired AEI cables. So in fact, in the first year of our acquisition, we did benefit to quite an extent by having acquired AEI cables, where we got some very good export orders. once this meltdown happened in 2008, both AI cables went into losses and Paramount went into losses, and slowly, although the balance sheet of the company used to be very strong at that time, but over a period, when the companies both were incurring losses and Paramount was having to support the 100% subsidiary in UK, by two and a half years, in any case, even financial stress, in terms of liquidity stress, started happening. So these 10 years during which the company had a, we went into corporate debt restructuring at one point. That debt restructuring again put in lots of restrictions on the working of the company. We had to dispose of our Greenfield project, which was under construction at that time at some very low values and all. And of course, the continuing losses in UK, the losses in UK were exacerbated by the fact that the market demand having gone down, it was a very high expense operation. The salaries in UK were very high and we had more than 300 employees there. So when the when the whole equation gets disturbed and there is no liquidity coming into the company from every quarter except for the promoters, so we did keep on adding whatever we could, and that is what kept the company afloat. But ultimately, till 2018, we did end up, having almost constant or reducing turnovers, and which of course clearly meant losses also. It's only after 2017-18 that we gathered up a lot of whatever liquidity, whatever resources the promoters could manage as a family. We put in that money into the company. We put in around 58 crores in that period. And then we were able to pull up the company by the socks and, bring it from 314 crores or 317 crores in FY17 to 600 crores, 620 crores odd, with a profit after tax, 5% PAT in FY19. So after FY19, the company has been a profit-making company. After that, the only difficulty we faced was that in the absence of any funding or outside funding or banking, we were constrained in our growth. And that also barrier was surmounted during the last 2 years when we started getting some investments into the company. And now we are a debt-free company and we have grown 30%, 37% in FY23 and 35% in FY24. So 37% and 35% growth in two consecutive years. And our balance sheet is now looking pretty good and pretty strong. And we now are therefore, we feel that we are in a strong position now to regain the position among the top cable manufacturers in the country. Because the market still recognizes the quality, the product that Paramount has, the track record that Paramount has. And even during the worst of times, Paramount never allowed its reputation in terms of either product quality or in terms of our commitment to our contracts to suffer.
Understood, sir. So that was helpful and quite detailed. My second question is in terms of your working capital days. Now that's about close to 130 days as in FY24. Just wondering, why is it higher compared to peers where the average is approximately 65 days?
You see, peers, I think there is a variety of peers having variety of working capital cycles. But the peers that we usually do end up being compared to are the market leaders who, luckily because of their strength over the years and their, also combined with the large, large distribution network sales, which they are doing through channel, financing, that in most cases, that receivables do not appear on their balance sheets at all because of the channel financing. We have a domestic B2C market or distributor channel market or sales, which is much smaller. We have done roughly 56 crores in this H1 in terms of B2C, which is house wires and which is house wires and you know, telecom optical fiber cables, which we sell through our distributor channel. So these don't really, you know, substantially, in any case, that even that channel financing, even for that 56 crores, is currently at least not available to us. This will come as, you know, as the company, you know, regains some more heft and more strength on the balance sheet side, and the channel financing partners start coming in to the company. So currently, you are seeing a balance sheet in which the receivables are comparable to those who do not have any distributor market sales, right? Distribution network sales. So if you look at that, then the numbers look comparable. But then at the same time, our exports, which are through distributor network, and in which we can, if we wish, we can wish, you know, if we can get some factoring done, that can also help us. But one interesting number that I would like to share with you in terms of our working capital days is that even now, our H1 working capital days have come down to 100. Just let me push out my note. Give me a second here. So our working capital has come down from 137 days for 31st March 24 to 109 days in for H1, right? So we are continuously working on reducing the working capital cycle. But it is also a fact that we have been comparatively comfortable in terms of liquidity during the past one year or so because of the fundraise that we did, and it always takes a bit of time for the funds to be getting absorbed into uses that really help. So practically we will be fighting a battle again overall on a continuing basis to reduce our working capital days. But again, I would say those who have a distribution network combined with long track record / strong balance sheet have the automatic advantage of being able to get channel financing, which reduces their receivables very, very substantially.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much. That's all from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praveen Sahai from Prabhudas Leeladhar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in your revenue growth of 41% in the top line for Q2 and 46% for the first half, if you can give some color on how much is volume growth?
Okay, so volume growth, I think that's a very, very, I would say welcome question from my side, because volume is something which really tells you about how a plant has operated, how the machines have been sweated. So we usually look at volumes in terms of the metal consumption, and this is what I mentioned when I was giving you my introduction also. So coming to the metal consumption, we have consumed 10,757 tons of copper and aluminium combined, showing a growth of 53% over the previous year. That was, the consumption was 7,035 tons. So this is the real point, that even when I say that my revenues have gone up by 40%, my actual capacity utilization or my consumption has gone up by 53%.
Okay. So related to this, sir, you know, a lot of companies also has reported so far the numbers. And with the fluctuation in the RM prices, copper and aluminium, we have seen there is a contraction in the gross margin for them. Whereas I can see in your numbers, there is a sequential improvement in the gross margin for you. So is that any product mix change or because of a higher inventory, is that the number is looking?
See, the reason is that these companies which have shown a reduction in their margins have very, very substantial exposure to the distribution network. In which case, on one hand, they have a control over the price, but on the other hand, they also tend to, you know, be in a position where they have to absorb losses also when there is unnatural increase or sudden jerks in the metal prices. And this is exactly what has happened. As I told you, our total distribution network sales are just 56 crores out of 600, and therefore maybe we are not subject to this reduction. As our house wire sales in India also grow up, go to a next level, and maybe we have some more of optical fiber sales, in which of course there is no metal, but there could be variation in the optical fiber prices. In both these cases, yes, we would have a similar position, but not as of now, because the numbers here are very small. The U.S. exports is also through distributor network, but the U.S. exports, we are not, you know, all our pricing is done on the firm price basis, that we once we price an order, then we don't change the pricing. And the pricing, the deliveries is normally not more than 4 months, and at the same time, we are always booking our metal practically on the next working day of the, you know, of finalizing the order with our distributors there in US. So in some ways, of course, one has to try and do better things more efficiently, and, you know, one might claim better operational efficiency, but I think these are temporary things. Sometimes I might do something better, sometimes the other person might do something better. But I think we all try to do whatever best we can in this circumstance, right?
Okay, got it. Next question is related to the capacity. At the current capacity, how much is the revenue potential do you have? And also in a press release, you had mentioned that the 52, 53 crore of investment you had done and increased around 33,000 metric ton annually. So how much is the percentage increase in your capacity with this? And if you can give the, you know, color on post this expansion, how much the potential of a revenue you have?
You see, let me talk about revenue. The existing two plants of our company, in which we are now spending, doing a lot of brownfield capex to ensure that we can optimize the capacities of both these two plants. Last year, we have spent more than 60 crore rupees into capex. And this year, we have already spent, 27 crores in H1, and something similar or maybe more will be spent in H2 also. So what we are trying to do is optimize, maximize, debottleneck, and balance our plants in whatever way possible to extract every possible increase in revenues that we can from these two plants. That is the first intention. So in terms of tonnage, we are looking at roughly 33,000 tons of metal processing capacity by FY26. And this should mean revenues of roughly 1,800 crores. Now, 1,800 crores will also be in line with our stated aim of having a 30% CAGR over the next, over 4 or 5 years starting FY23. So FY23 has done its bit, 24 has done its bit. We are quite online this year also. Our H1 numbers show that we should be very much online to show a 25-30% growth. And for us to achieve a similar 25-30% growth in FY26, we should be looking at a number of around 1,800 crores, roughly, yes. But that's a very rough estimation. Of course, these things, one is not committing to at this point, but we do commit ourselves to a growth of 25-30% CAGR basis And therefore, those are the numbers which we should achieve, hopefully.
Lastly, sir, on the order book, which you had mentioned around 619 crore, out of which you have 192 crore of export order. So, what's the timeline for these orders? Like, in how many months or years?
Typically, we do not encourage order book more than 4 months in our company. From our experience, on the way the market has behaved over the past, and we have suffered substantially in the meltdown that happened in the year 2008. Having learned our lessons from that, we do not try to have any long-term, long delivery exposures on metals or commodities. So therefore, we mainly encourage 4 months max of firm price orders. There is a substantial chunk of orders that we get on variable basis also, in which, since there is no exposure to metal price from our side, we do not have any value limit as such on the orders that we book. So you know, a variable price order can go up to 2 years. Why should it matter to me? Because if metal goes down, it goes down. It goes up, it goes up. But as far as firm prices are concerned, we try and restrict ourselves to a total of 4 months delivery.
And this 619 is for a 4 month delivery order?
Mostly. In some cases, you know, we can't have an absolutely firm, unviolable rule. In some cases, if, you know, there is some insistence by a customer, you do relax it a bit. But as a rule, we do not wish to have long delivery orders on a firm price basis. Because if I accept, let us say, an 8 month delivery order, and today I book my metal, and just the same as it happened in 2008, the metal crashes by that time, there will be no customer left to lift that material, and I will be left holding the expensive material. So we don't want to do that.
Right, sir, right. And one clarification, sir, because this quarter we have seen a power cable contribution has increased to around 50%. But over a years, you expect to be in the range of 40-45% only.
You know, these are only expectations. But we are ultimately there in the market, and we are calibrating on a daily basis. We are calibrating, we are recalibrating. Whatever business is coming our way, we have to look at the contributions in terms of margins available on an individual product line. We have to look at the volumes available. So these are rough estimates. And tomorrow we could have a large opportunity coming out of railway, for example. And we might be looking at having to, you know, reduce, if not in absolute rupees terms, but at least in percentage terms, the power factor in railways could go up. So we are there across three sectors, you see. Telecom is not a very large segment for us. But over the years, after every 3-4 years, there comes a year in which there is a huge demand for optical fiber cable. And then we do it, and then for that year, the percentage goes up for optical fiber cable. So like BharatNet is coming up next year. And BharatNet, once it comes, okay, fine. So again, we are there. We have given our authorizations to a lot of bidders and all. Once the requirement comes, there is a bulk demand, yes, we'll be interested. So percentages in terms of product mix excite us less. What excites us end of the day is what is our growth, what is our margins.
Right, right. Correct, sir. Got it. And thank you for taking my question. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rakesh Pal from Peace Wealth Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, sir, for taking my question. Sir, my first question is, are we seeing any effect of sectoral tailwind in railway, transmission and distribution and telecommunication for our products, as we have significant portion of revenue coming from power cable, railway cable and telecommunication cables? Yeah, that's my first question.
You see, power cable has got currently the strongest tailwinds, number one. The reason is that there is so much activity happening in the country. Our GDP is growing at roughly 7% compared to, you know, much lower GDP rates. I think it's some 4 point something for China and all. We, you know, when the GDP growth is happening, what it actually means is there's a lot of infrastructure spend also happening alongside. And that infrastructure spend is being, you know, done both by the government and by the private sector. Private sector had been hesitant to put in capex still 2-3 years back. Now that full flow of private capex is also coming into play. And when all these things happen, you know, we have to appreciate that wires and cables typically constitute at least 1 to 2%, depending on the type of product or project, of any capex. Right down to even a roads project like NHAI road even needs cables, because they want to lay their cables alongside when they are building a highway. So the energy sector, which is becoming huge day by day, the renewable sector, the renewable energy, especially the solar energy companies, have become our very large customers in the past 2 years. We are already there in distribution and transmission. So everywhere, let's say there's a steel plant coming up, or a steel, you know, cement, steel, any large plant, any large capex happening, everywhere they still need cables. Metros are being constructed all over the country. Whenever you do metros, again you need cables. So all this demand for cables is even if a percentage of the infra spend, but it is all piling up into a pretty big number. So because what we call a power cable is not just for power sector, it's anything, anywhere where you need a power cable to be installed. So even in the railways, I mentioned metro, but even why metro, any other railway network, if I supply a power cable, I call it a power cable. I don't call it a railway cable. What I call a railway cable is a very limited, definition of, which covers the signaling cables and the axle counter cables that railways uses for its signaling network, right? So power cable by definition has to be the largest chunk of any cable company, except for those who by choice do not want to do anything except telecom cables. So like there's one particular company which does 100% optical fiber cable only. So then other than that, or there are one or two other companies that I know of, one or two or three maybe. But other than that, people will be doing power cables, we will be doing optical fiber cables, and those who are not having, who are having power and other items in their range, usually find the telecom business a bit chunky, that some years there's demand, some years there's not, right?
Okay, sir. My next question is, sir, this quarter we have paid taxes, so in spite our revenue going up, the profit before tax going up, our PAT has not seen any growth uptick as QOQ as well as year on year. So how long do you think it will take us for to continue? How long it will take to see PAT level growth? How long it will take, sir? That's my second question.
I think to my guess is that for the next two quarters, we will see a similar position, because every quarter will be compared with the previous year's quarter in which there is zero tax, and now we'll be paying tax in these quarters. So once this financial year is over, after that, the numbers will be compared to the tax paid year, right? So at maximum, we can look at three quarters, because the quarter Q1 of next year, because Q1 of this year has been tax-free. So Q1 of next year will be also facing the comparison with this year's Q1. So right, so one is looking at three quarters where the PAT growth will be less. And once that is over, then you see it in the same fashion. The basic point is that when your revenue goes up by X, your EBITDA goes up by X plus something, and your PAT goes up by X plus something.
Yeah, right. Understood, sir. So my last question is, in U.S., what sectors do we cater?
You see, in the U.S., we are very much comparable to the B2C businesses that you hear of in India that go through the distributor networks, or, you know, whatever one wishes to call them. Point is, the product in the U.S. is being sold on the strength of through a distributor network. The distributor network is buying cables from us, independent distributors who are all coast to coast distributors mostly. my product is being sold across. It's not that big numbers if you honestly ask me. It's this year we are looking at something like 500 crores of exports to the US. But even with 500 crores, we are practically covering every nook and corner of US. Our cables are going to every port in the US. And there is a quality appreciation and an acceptance of the quality of Paramount, which has put us in a very strong position. The same country which was not, interested in importing anything from India till FY19, we made our first breakthrough in FY20. And today, of course, we have to appreciate that the factor in play here is China plus one, because a lot of these cables what we are supplying were being imported from China earlier, and then the customs duties were imposed. So the American buyers started looking at other sources. Now, we are not the only source. There are many other countries. We are competing with Vietnam. We are competing with Cambodia. We are competing with South Korea. We are competing with Mexico. And China still remains in place somehow for some of the items. So there are... point is that these are the customers who ultimately are going to buy the product that they want, because these are all customers who are educated customers. These are all electrical contractors who prefer a product and then they ask for it. And when they ask for the product, then the distribution network gears up. I had only two distributors for selling into the US in 2020. Today I've got eight. So while I was earlier pushing my product into the US, today there is a pull because individual distributors approach us because it is their supply network, their supply chain which is asking for the product.
Okay, sir, got it. That's all from my side.
And by the way, let me just add that US market is many, many times the size of Indian market. The current estimate is roughly $47 billion of market is there in the U.S. And, 30 billion is their imports. They make their own 30 billion. 60 out of which something like 12 they export. So roughly 47, 48 is their net consumption in U.S. And if one is able to be a part of that market, where one is having the luxury of a established, respected quality name, then we can keep on increasing A, our volume, B, our product range, and all of them. When we do both of these things together, we have got a pretty huge market to cater to. So I think that is something that we are very, very happy to have uncovered in the last 4 years.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjana Mittal from Ratnatayar Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. So one is, sir, on the power cable business. In 2023, if I look at the power cable segmental revenue, so it degrew by roughly around 20%. So can you throw some light on that? Like, what was the reason for that?
FY23, the reason was that we focused our total energies on the US market. It was the opportunity which we could not have compromised on. The US market was demanding product day and night, and we did not want to, reduce our supplies to the US market to buy even 1%, because this was the relationship that we were wanting to build and the product presence that we were wanting to have in the US. And therefore, we had to cut down on our domestic sales for that year. But the interesting part is, in FY23, out of 400 crores, of course, 399 crores of our exports was to the US. Only 1 crore we did to other countries. Till 22, if I recall correctly, we had done 132 crores of exports, so out of which 32 crores was to UK and other countries, and 100 crores was to US. So, why we have to, strategically focus every time that we have an opportunity on the market and see where we have the maximum long-term gains coming for the company. Now, coming to the next year, FY24, the export value to US shrunk by 30% from 400 crores to 276 crores. Although the volume shrunk only 4%, the US exports, we had done 500 containers in FY23 and 483 containers in FY24. Only 4% reduction, but the value reduction was so steep because of A, the reduction in metal prices, and B, the huge reduction in freights to the US, which came down from 16 lakhs a container to 4 lakhs a container. Now, even if my US revenues went down from 400 crore to 276, my revenue overall went up from 800 crores to 1076 crores. So which means my domestic sales increased from 400 crores, doubled to 800 crores. So this is only because Paramount has a presence which is much bigger in the market compared to our current size in terms of capacity or sales. The name, the presence, the track record in the domestic market especially has been there for so long, for so many decades, that we can sell what we want. The problem is we have to produce and you have to get the orders at the right margin.
Understood. And so what you're saying is that in 23 we had sort of a capacity constraint that we could not cater to both the markets with the capacity that we had, and that's why we chose to focus on the export side and then eventually invest in building the capex. Is that correct understanding?
Absolutely, you're absolutely right.
Got it. One more question I had, two more if the time allows.
Please.
One is that if we look historically, like you mentioned, like we have gone through a little bit of a troublesome phase. I'm just looking at the standalone numbers from 2013 to 2018. What I want to understand is what are we changing since? What has changed in our strategy internally since then? What was it entirely like an external environment situation which was causing a degrowth in the overall top line, or was it also internally were we losing wallet share from our clients, and from there on what has changed which has brought such significant improvement in our growth trajectory?
The problem, unfortunately, that the company suffered was not a little bit, although one would have loved it to have been a little or a small or a minor problem, but it was huge in the sense that once a company gets into a vicious circle of losses and thereafter the financial institutions, pulling back and the sort of restrictions that keep happening, and with the total lack of support from any financial institution or from the market, that becomes a problem. The company was surviving through these 10 years practically on a starvation diet. And what is a starvation diet? We were starved of funds. So whatever little working capital we were still always invited to negotiate, whether it was telecom, power, railways, anywhere. We were there on the table to talk and discuss the business. We would be only doing cherry picking. We would be looking at the product / customer with the best margin, with the fastest payment, with the lowest bank guarantee requirement. All those were our constraints, and we just kept on surviving through that period because our expenses never went down. Our revenues went down. Our expenses could not have gone down in the same proportion. We were trying to reduce, but we could not have reduced beyond a point because that would have meant totally destroying our capability or capacity. So beyond a point, if you are not able to, get your sales rolling in, and that is not happening because you don't have the working capital. So it was, that's why I said a vicious circle. Once our debts were practically, fixed into a fixed amount, with the amount being settled to the asset reconstruction company, to the ARC, we for the first time had a clear visibility that, okay, this is the amount I am required to pay. Before that, the banks were simply adding any number of charges or interest which we could never challenge or even ask, We simply ended up adding it to our balance sheet. So that was not taking us anywhere. Once we had a settlement that, okay, this is the amount you have to pay, then we gathered up all possible money that we, as promoters we could from all our resources, put it into the company right down to our personal very important liquid assets, and put that money into the company, and that is the time we were really able to actually get out of the vicious circle. After having put in that 58 crore rupees, we were able to make that 619 crores of revenues and 30 crores of PAT for the first time after 10 years of losses. So we were all these years only doing cherry picking because somebody is going to pay me after 3 months, I can't afford. Somebody is giving me a lower margin but larger volumes, I can't afford because I don't have the working capital. All those things you would manage, still try and get some minimum survival, starvation diet as you said, and we survived. But once the company got into a position to get out of this vicious circle, and that was in FY19, we were doing pretty well. After that, the only constraint that we as a company had was that there was sources of funding for the company available, and therefore again our revenue started stagnating at around 620 crore rupees odd. So we were at no point not able to produce. If we were not able to produce, it was only because of lack of working capital. And now for the last 2 years, the pressure is that we have to produce actually what business we are getting. So maybe the product mix that I was making in FY19, if I was making the same product mix, I could have some larger capacity. But my product mix has also changed dramatically. And therefore, now my constraint for the last 2 years, FY23, FY24, even today, is how much I can produce. Because now I have the working capital. My constraint today is how much machinery I can change, debottleneck, balance, do things to maximize my production out of these two plants.
Understood. Thank you very much. That's all from my side. Thank you for taking
the question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Gandhi from HPMG Shares and Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Hardik, please.
Sir, congratulations on a good set of numbers and a great turnaround story happening for you guys. So just wanted to know a few things. That first, that the promoter stake has gone down below 50%, right? So are there any intentions in the near future to gain back at least the 50% stake?
I would love to have my stake go up to 50% plus. I don't think currently I see any of the promoter family having the resources to you know, try and increase our stake. In fact, we have learned our lesson that it's better to have a smaller chunk of a much larger cake rather than, you know, all of a very small cake. And that cake, you know, when it is too small, it starts shrinking. And that's what happened to us. You know, that was not because of our willingness or to dilute or not, but the problem was that, yes, unless you have a certain size in today's day and age, a company must have a muscle, must have a size, must have the strength to be there in the marketplace. If you look at the way the market is there, not only in my cable industry, but probably all across, EBITDA margins, for example, are maybe practically a function of your revenues. If A has got 100 and B has got 200, maybe B will be at least, you know, at least 2-3% higher EBITDA than A.
Correct, so, definitely.
Right. Now, currently, we are, you know, we have, I would say, very comfortable EBITDA. In fact, if you simply do the equation of EBITDA percentages versus revenues in the most players, then maybe we are a bit better off. But as we start looking for larger and larger shares of the market, maybe we'll also have to make some compromises on the percentage of margins. So end of the day, the way our EBITDA margins have grown in the last 3 years, probably it may not grow in that speed. But absolute numbers will grow at a much higher speed. The And the percentage growth in the absolute numbers also would be very good, but not in terms of EBITDA as such, right?
Understood, definitely, sir. So, going forward, at what level can we expect a greenfield or a, you know, an acquisition? Like, I do understand you've already mentioned that unless and until we are touching 1800 crore top line, that will all be provided by the internal efficiency and, you know, you're trying to get internal efficiency up to the max level. So at what level can we expect that, okay, this is the time that the company will be looking for expansion?
You see, the 25% to 30% CAGR that we have mentioned is meant not only for the next 2 years, which is FY26. We hope it will be for at least 5 years, which is FY29.
Fingers crossed. Yes, sir.
Right, fingers crossed is absolutely the term, because the people who have, in any case, have seen such difficult times know much better than others to cross their fingers well in advance, right?
Yes.
Considering that, you see, our existing two plants can at max do 1800 crores, but the give or take a few numbers, but roughly 1800 crores is what, after we are doing all our capex, we can achieve in the existing two plants. And thereafter, for the growth in the year after that, let's say FY27, I would need at least 600-700 crores of growth, additional revenues to come in from a new plant. Now, whether that's a greenfield facility or I acquire some other existing facility, something or the other has to be done. And we are very much working on that. Initially, right now, we are thinking mainly on the lines of the greenfield. Although, if there is a good opportunity of an existing unit that would suit our requirements, that could also be done. So that would happen. But we have to, because you see, to grow at this 35% CAGR, you know, one would be looking at some much larger numbers. So we would need to set up a new greenfield facility with a capacity roughly equal to the existing two plants.
Understood. And just last question, if I could squeeze in, what are the challenges you are seeing right now in your industry? I heard that in the previous question you mentioned that, you know, the exports are suffering in a way because of the reduced price in the raw material as well as reduced freight prices, right? So although we have a volume growth, there is a reduction in the top line of the export. So on similar lines, what are the key challenges which we are seeing right now? Given the demand, there's a huge demand for the power cables and cables in general, but what are the challenges you are seeing right now?
Let me just say that export is not suffering. It suffered last year in terms of value, although not in terms of volume. But this year, we expect to go at least 500 crores in exports.
Okay.
We have sufficient order book and sufficient visibility for the current year. In terms of volume, again, it should be, if not double, maybe slightly less, but because there has been some increase in the metal prices. So if I double my value of exports, maybe the volume would be not double, but might be a bit lower. So in export. So that these things, what we are very sure of is the current visibility that we have is we should be crossing 500 crores in exports to the US this year. So exports is not suffering. In fact, this is our major, I would say, strategic market, which we intend to fully nurture in every way possible. We are going to work on increasing the volumes of the current product range, but at the same time, there are at least three other product ranges that we have got approvals already, which we are going to now launch. And so we are looking at not the typical 10%, 20%, 30% growth, which if you look at the Paramount's records, you know, we in no way that you find our percentages to be moving in the range of 10%, 20%, 30% anywhere. Like, to give you an example, our first export year to the US was FY20, which was $1 million, roughly 7.5 crore. FY21, again 7.5 crore. And FY22, it was straight away 100 crores. So what percentage would you say? 700-600%, right? And then, FY24, FY23, 100 crores becomes 400 crores. So 400%. FY24, 400 crores come down to 276 crores, but this is not volume reduction, as I said, only value reduction, which is very surprising because anybody who exports anything to the US, and I think you are all professionals who have exposure to so many sectors, anybody exporting anything to the US suffered hugely in terms of volumes to the US for FY24, because in FY24 was a total destocking year for the US market. They had bought like crazy in FY23 and they were destocking to by the same level of commitment, I would say, in FY24. So these, if despite that I was able to maintain my volume, I was pretty happy. And in any case, I was not really that anxious for the volumes, because my problem now for the last 2 years has been how much I can produce, not because I have the working capital now. Previously also, my problem has become the first time how much I can produce only in the last 2 years. So that was not the issue.
Understood. So, but any tariffs, like, because going forward, seeing that, seeing the economic, political instability and, you know, the elections looming in US, you expect any import duties on the cables? Any?
You see,
any,
we are, let me tell you, we are already disadvantaged when we export to the US. My competitor from South Korea gets zero duty. My competitor from Vietnam gets zero duty. My competitor even from Cambodia gets zero duty.
Hmm.
And Mexico gets zero duty. I pay 5%. Right?
Correct.
So, you know, probably if there is any sweeping change that happens in the custom duty rates, let's say 10% custom duty is imposed across the board, then I'll be happier because my competitor will also be paying 10%, right? And I'll be also paying 10%.
Definitely, definitely. Understood. That's it from my side, sir. All the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, on behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.